Welcome to Seeing Into Being Summit, spiritual insights and stories to awaken the golden age in your heart, mind, and daily life.
Om Shanti, Brother Ken, very, very warm welcome to this beautiful program, Seeing Into Being. Very, very nice that you can join us. How are you doing? Everything is good?
I'm very fine. I'm actually sitting here in our retreat center, overlooking a very beautiful forest at the moment.
All right, so preparing yourself to take us into the forest to see if we can reach the other side and end up in Golden Age. As you know, the program Seeing Into Being connects with the visions that we have of Golden Age, Satyug, and the way it transcribes itself as a being, a state of being. And we're very happy to have you because we love your voice. And I know that your voice has been filled with gyan for many, many years, but also with poetry, with songs, with kindness and love and softness in the voice. So I'll be using your refined intellect, but the poetry of your voice, to ask you to make a connection between Golden Age and what do you see, what do you hear. And if I ask you to describe your experiences of Golden Age up to now, what has been for you the visions and the images that have been really inspiring to you as images of the new world?
I don't think I have a very clear physical image because we really can't compare even the nature, even at its most beautiful here, with anything of the Golden Age. So there are really no physical references. Baba even says that it's very difficult for us to see, for an artist to portray the deities. So maybe the images that we see in the paintings, in the museums and so on in India and other places, they're really also not a good reference. But definitely I have an intuitive feeling of how it could be, especially the relationships and the language, how we speak, how we interact, how we connect with the nature, how we interact as human beings. I definitely have had many, many such experiences of intuition.
Can you share some with us?
Glimpses of the Golden Age. For example, I train myself to not use adjectives. I spend many days trying to reduce my language to absolute minimum because there are very few words. Things are not really named. Certainly they don't have Latin names. So I tend to try to allow the trees to be as they are, or the flowers without names, just beautiful parts of the world around me rather than things that have names. And also going beyond words helps me to not interpret anything. So I spend hours at a time in a very non-judgmental state because words that we put to things oblige us to interpret things as well. And as you interpret things, you judge things. And so what's it like to be non-judgmental totally? What's it like to have complete silence? What's it like to connect with the reality around me without any words between me and it? These are the sorts of experiences that I very much enjoy. And another thing too that I very much enjoy is to, since these sanskars are in us, these impressions of half of the cycle, half of the time that we've been here on this world is recorded in us. So those sanskars of perfection are within reach, and I can access them and for 5 minutes at a time or 10 minutes, like that. So I often do that. It's very difficult to do in a city, walking down, but I have been able to do it walking down a street in a Fifth Avenue type of street here or there. But it's not easy. I tend to, when there are less people around, when they're just the birds and the bees and the trees, I can do it better. But still, it's not impossible to go into that mode, be perfect for 5 minutes. So I often do that sort of thing, you know, just taking on this nature of being a deity for a short time. And it's really, really pleasant experience.
Sorry to interrupt, Brother Ken. Is there any specific experience that you had in your Brahmin life where you felt that you were moving forward in your insights about the Golden Age? Like, I'm sure you had experiences in your early days, like all of us, that were quite different maybe from what you connect with when you think of Golden Age today. So can you share some of the very specific moments in the Brahmin life in which you had
nothing visual, but like being a mind moving around with legs, you know, a mind completely free and easy, looking through the eye windows. In the beginning, I had many such experiences. I didn't really know what it was, but it's as if I was, you know, just a mind, as if my eyes were sort of really like windows, and not just a description that we give in meditation, but that I was somewhere very distant. And I was a mind, a free mind, looking through eyes without really understanding what that was. That's how it was in the beginning. That, you know, just a connection with that depth of purity and depth of innocence, I suppose. And, you know, a non-intellectual state in a sense. Just we can't even conjecture, even use the words that we use here to describe such a state in the future. We don't use the words even. But definitely in the beginning I had many such experiences of as if I was connected somewhere else in a very pure and innocent state, non-intellectual, totally non-intellectual, and just sort of a mind moving around the world. I go like that for hours at a time in the beginning. Like when I go for walks, that's what would happen sort of naturally. It was like shifting to another epoch in a way, unrelated to anything here. So it's very difficult to describe really, but definitely in the beginning when I didn't understand very much, I had several such experiences.
And today, how do you use this notion of Golden Age or the New World and Baba inspiring us, of course, to be prepared and to prepare ourselves for this new world? How do you bridge these insights that you have into the work you're doing on yourself spiritually to make a link, to make a transition towards this new world?
I think it's an experience of total presence, really. I try a natural sort of soul conscious while moving around, not thinking much or even at all, and just letting people and things be as they are. That's the sort of way that I interpret that experience. Because in a way, it's like my mind, intellect, and sanskars are all working together in harmony. There's not really much happening at all. Again, as I say, I really make attention to not thinking words, but to thinking experiences rather. I train myself these days to use less words to experience something for myself. In other words, my thinking is not me talking to myself using words, but it's more like shifting from one experience to the other. It's very interesting. Not easier, because we're absolutely addicts of vocabulary and word consciousness in a way. The relationship with the body, really natural soul consciousness, using my hands to do something. I try to do that, especially if I'm alone. I tend to eat alone, or mostly I eat in total silence. I really try to experience just that soul consciousness, picking up the spoon and putting the food in the mouth, that sort of thing. And as I interact with others, I try to remove all names and adjectives and words that I used to describe people in the past. Again, it's not easy, but just it's as if everyone sort of fades back into their real reality rather than the reality that my thinking creates about them. So it's like a subtle effort in a way. Again, I try to make efforts to be, you know, not to do jerky movements, to move around, sort of gliding around rather than sort of jerking around. Picking up things or moving things, I try to do it in a sort of a smooth fashion, not easy. I realize that the body I have doesn't help me much. You know, I've got one leg shorter than the other. Sometimes I trip over, but it's not easy. Well, you know, coming into the body, using it, and moving away from it again in a subtle way. I guess that's the way I would describe my current effort.
What do you think is stopping us as Brahmins, of course, and spiritual practitioners? What is stopping us from moving faster or in a more clearer way towards the state of being that Baba is trying to create for us for the new world? What is a blockage from here to the next reality in the new world?
Well, obviously, for me anyway, it's kin consciousness. It's not just body consciousness, because that's the sort of standard response to you know, what is the main blockage. But in fact, it's everything that's connected with this identity in a way. You know, I really try to see myself beyond the whatever Ken is and whatever Ken's done and so on and so forth, that whatever I can remember about this life, even my Brahmin life, because practically I've been in Gyan more than 40 years, so it's like a lifetime in a way. I can't really remember much of what happened before that. Literally, I can't remember much. My mind doesn't go back so far. But even so, I've created an identity as a Brahmin. And the things that I've done and I haven't done, and things that I've, you know, whatever I've made, mistakes I've made, or whatever things I've done right, I see that as the main blockage, because there is a subtle attachment to our story. And I have to go beyond my story in a way. I'm not my story. I'm the protagonist of many stories. I'm the effort that I find in a sense, it's a subtle thing. If someone showed me a photo of my previous body to this one, I wouldn't recognize it. You know, like who's that? You know. So in a way, am I as detached from this body as I am from a photograph of my previous body? The detachment should be the same. So I would say that what stops us from enjoying our perfect sanskars, of course, our imperfect ones, and the memory of them, in a sense, that's maybe too present most of the time, because we're caught up in situations or work or projects or whatever, where that story comes into scrutiny. I have to look at the thing from the basis of my own story. You know, so someone asked me to do something because I've got experience in doing that. So obviously, when I'm doing it, the story is more involved, with that activity, because I'm remembering what I did and how I did it, and now I'm going to do it again, and those sanskars related to the repetition of certain actions are there. But that if I'm stuck now, and this is a very difficult thing, because we're supposed to be present, right? But present how? Present as me, this story with legs, or me, this soul that's been through an 84 birth cycle? You know, that's the present effort, and the biggest obstacle at the same time.
I don't know if I'm correct, but from hearing you, I feel as if you are very aware of your present state of being. Maybe not so much concern about the future, but inspiring yourself from the future as we know it will be in order to be better being today. Is that correct? Or you're not so concerned by how to be in the future, you're more trying to inspire yourself from the future to be at your best today?
At this present moment, I'm just enjoying watching a few butterflies jumping around on a daisy right about 3 meters in front of my nose, and the sun filtering through the leaves. You know, there's a gentle breeze at the moment. And at the same time, I'm hearing some motorcycles roaring down the highway. So I'm stuck between two worlds in a way. But definitely I'm not really concerned about how I'm going to be in the future, because I'm trying to be the future now rather than... You see, the future is not an event later on. It's something that I have to manifest now. It's not like to become what we're going to become is not really an event. In the way that you'd say, let's say we're going to be programming, and the launch of this program is September, so we've got all sorts of steps leading up to that, and we do our checklist and this and that and the other. My future state's not really an event, it's something that I have to bring into me now. So in a way, if I can't get it right now, I won't get it right later on either, you know, in a sense, you know. It really is about bringing the future forward.
Right. Do you see the need for having a clearer vision of the future? This program, we call it like Seeing Into Being. There are numerous people in the world starting to think about the future in the light of the trauma that we're going through at the moment, with shootings, with climate change, and with so many harsh realities. I think people are also trying to have vision of a better world that would be practical, that would be realistic. Do you see there's a need to maybe articulate a little bit better what the future is for us?
Well, as we know, the population of the Golden Age is very small, but every single soul has its own highest state. Whether they're a one birth soul or an 84 birth soul, they have their own highest state. And so every single soul will be trying to grasp their own beginning. And in fact, the only thing that everyone has in common is the original state in the soul world, in a sense. Not even our beginnings here in this world are similar. They're not. But there in the soul world, yes. So everyone is pulled forward by a future that was their past. It's very... bit paradoxical, but if people can have a glimpse of their highest self, they will gain definitely more hope, and I guess that's what we have to do. Not many people, as we know, will relate to the Golden Age as such, but they will relate to their own Golden Age, whatever that is, whether they took their first birth in the 1500s or 2,000 years ago or whatever, or even in the last century. Every single soul will relate to whatever their own Satupradhan stage was. So we have to give them hope that way, and not paint a fanciful sort of fantasy world, which is too romantic and too way out for anyone except those who were actually there in the golden age. I wouldn't like to go along that road. It's too fanciful. And again, we have to be less romantic about it. It's not really, you know, even the other day I was thinking, if God, deities comb their hair, and of course they comb their hair. Do you think that they sleep and they wake up and they're automatically, their hair is in place? You know, so we have to think about what is really practical for ourselves, and at the same time, we have to understand that what's really practical for everyone else may not be the same thing. We have to point to help people understand their own highest state, whatever that is. And
I'm very glad, Ken Bai, that you're bringing the topic of combing your hair in Golden Age, because I think there's definitely a need to maybe to realign the vision that we have of the future and the way that you're describing it, not thinking just of the few of us who might be in a reality, but the majority will have another reality in the Golden Age. So I think that even for us, our reality of the Golden Age, I think, has to move away from a little childish or simplistic view of the Golden Age.
Yeah. I mean, what do we try to do? We sort of sit around dressed in sort of sequins and stuff with cardboard crowns and pretend that we're deities. That's ridiculous, you know. So we have to, that's like when we have such events, when we dress up, it's nothing like that, nothing. But the purity and the royalty and the innocence and the natural love and the natural soul consciousness, we have to articulate that rather than physical apparitions. So that's my feeling anyway.
I think we might end up with a complete picture, both on the internal and spiritual level, as well as some of the physical details that are coming also from some of our visions. So we'll see. So for now, I think that looking at time, we'd love to ask you to rephrase some of your thoughts in an experimental manner as a meditation commentary, maybe for just a few minutes with us, and just express in, well, I would say in your case, as many words as you can, or as many as you can, since your dictionary has slightly been revised and lost a lot of pages. So just using the few words that are left in your vocabulary, can you specify the experience of that state of being for us in a few minutes?
During sure.
Okay, so let's go into silence with you then. Thank you.
I am as I am. Everyone else is as they are. Nature is as it is. There's nothing to think about, to prove, to defend. To compare. I'm just in my natural state of pure, loveful innocence, without even knowing what is purity, love, or innocence. There's no sense of past or future. Just the experience of the present in all its wonder. Nothing pulls me or pushes me. Nothing questions. Nothing to figure out. I'm just an innocent visitor in the house of the body. My hands and feet are extensions into the world. Yeah, I don't know where my hand finishes and where the things start. It's all one big wonder. It's a beautiful play, but I don't know that I'm an actor. Nothing holds me, and nothing inspires me, because everything is so inspiring. There's no love because there's no hate. But everything is wonderful. There's no sense of separation where I live in an island. In fact, it's one big island in which we are all present. I am what I am, and things are as they are. Everything just flows along.
I find it so beautiful that you have been for many years playing with so many words and giving us so many words to experience the beauty through songs and through love. And now you're taking us into an experience when we are removing many words. So thank you for reducing the size of our dictionary and vocabulary. And yes, that is getting closer to silence, I guess. Thank you very much, Ken, for being with us. It was lovely. And
love to you all.